Our DSW Holiday Pros are here to help you find the perfect shoes for you and gifts for everyone on your list. Want it in 2 hours? Buy online and pick up in store. Even faster? Send a gift card. Head to DSW.com to shop season-making gifts. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Here for the Right Reasons, Us Weekly's Bachelor podcast. I am your host, Sarah Herron.
And I am so excited because I have my friend and a brilliant mind on the internet. You know her as Bravo Historian. She is Sam Bush. She is the host of Hot Off the Mess on The Dip podcast network. She also has a Sex and the City podcast called Shortcomings that I just found out about that I have to listen to. I need to ask you about the revival. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. How are you feeling about diving into the Bachelorette world this week?
I'm really happy to be diving in with you specifically.
Thank you. I mean, I did your podcast a few weeks ago and somehow turned it into a Bachelor podcast by my presence. That was by accident.
You know what? I haven't gotten that many DMs about a guest in a minute. Yeah, people were like, this is such a good episode. This was such a good episode. I was like, okay, do you just want her to be the host of the podcast? Like,
because I Hot Off the Mess starring Sarah Herron.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, she'll definitely be coming back. I was like, don't you guys worry.
But don't like her too much. This is my show.
I was like, I'm like, she can't take over.
So funny. I want to get into this episode, but I did want to ask you, what is the Sex and the City podcast situation?
Oh my God. Okay. So I host it with my friend, Chris Lewis, who is a literal genius. Like, he is so organized and he keeps me together. Cause I always say, I was like, without him, I would just be drooling like on the mic, and he's great. So it's called Shortcomings cause it's named after one of our favorite episodes. We were originally going to name it after like our top favorite episode called Are We Sluts? But there's already a podcast in the Dip Network called the Slut Pig Podcast. And they were like,
yes,
we can't be the Slut Network. Like, that can't be our brand.
Why not?
And I was like, are you sure? So yeah, it's called Shortcomings. It's, we go episode by episode. And right now we're like right in the middle of season two, but then we also are going to be talking about the revival. So we're going to be like, once that comes out every week, we'll be recapping the revival because we're so excited. And then we also have like an amazing guest coming up, and like, I don't want to jinx it, but Candace Bushnell.
Stop. The woman behind Carrie Bradshaw herself.
Yeah. We're in talks. I definitely will be. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
No, she's not coming on.
You know, she's like, please stop harassing me. It's like very one-sided email chain. But I will be asking her about Ron Galati, who is the inspiration behind Mr. Big. He is Mr. Big, and I'm fascinated by him. He right now lives in Vermont with his family on a farm, and it's lovely.
Wow. Well, I heard a little birdie told me that the Sex and City revival will be coming much sooner than we think.
You know, we were for a long time talking about on our podcast, because we also like, at the very top of it, we talk about like the pictures that we've seen from, you know, that are coming out from the revival and like what we've been hearing. And of course we did wrestle with the fact, like, do we talk about the rumors of Big?
Right. Is he with us or is he no longer with us and with us in spirit?
Cross back, you know, onto the rainbow.
Is this
bridge.
A Danny Duquette ghost situation for Carrie and Big, like as Izzy from Grey's Anatomy? It might be. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm
excited.
I'm very excited.
I wasn't freaking out necessarily. I mean, I watched Sex and the City. I had the E! Channel. Like, I've seen the marathons. Like, I, you know, whatever. Yeah. But some of the pictures have gotten me like, all right, I got to get involved. I'm going to get
and,
involved.
And, you know, all the boys are coming back.
Yeah. We got a lot going on.
All the boys. Steve looks better than ever.
Ooh, she's a Steve girl.
I'm a Steve girl.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I love it. Well, that's our Sex and the City podcast.
All right. Yep. Okay.
This is we were going to call that the Dutch Sluts since, as in honor of Yolanda.
Oh my God. A fucking Dutch slut.
Amazing. Actually horrible, but, and you know, I got accused of glorifying that cause I called it drama and I apologize.
It was
everyone.
Funny.
It is drama. Yeah.
It's drama, but to read the, you're a fucking Dutch slut. Wow.
Wow, it was, no, those, I've read a couple court documents in my life, and those I have saved on my phone. I saved the PDF, so I'll always have that.
Have you ever read the letter that she allegedly wrote to Bella?
To Bella? Of course.
Yeah, about the car and the tampon in the car.
Yeah, that was a time. Okay. They glossed over that on Beverly Hills Housewives.
Yeah, way too much.
Way too much. So the Bachelorette this week.
Let's talk about the Bachelorette.
Initial instincts on your Bachelor Nation experience. Do you like Michelle so far? Did you watch Matt James' season? Did you have any interest in watching this season before I made you? What were you thinking?
Okay. So I was a Bachelor in Paradise gal. Like I was in it. I was there for all the right reasons. I was, you know, but then after Colton jumped that fence, I said, I have to rethink. I have to take a step back. I have to evaluate the situation. Because I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And then I watched Ari's season. Was Ari before Colton?
No. Yes. Ari was.
Yes. Like was right 22. Before, right?
I have this sick thing where I know what numbers they were. Ari was 22. Colton was 23.
Okay. Yeah. So I watched Ari's season and that was riveting. Mm-hmm. Riveting television. I couldn't get enough. I was like, oh. You know, and I think him and Lauren are actually like a really cute couple, and they were one of those couples that everyone hated, and now mm-hmm. everyone loves. And,
I had a girl on from Ari's season last week. Her name's Jacqueline. She's great, and she was talking about how it actually was really nice to be from a season where even though it was like so messy, it did work out because you like almost feel a little more validated versus like being on a season that becomes such a joke at the end. And I was like, that's actually such a good point.
And I think that's why I tapped out a little bit because. And here's the thing: I said this when you came on my podcast. You know, I don't follow it so closely. Like I don't watch every single episode, but I know what's going on.
Right.
Because I find it so interesting.
It's the Instagram Michelle, of it all.
Oh my God. The Instagram of it all. The Instagram, the Twitter. I love the Twitter. I think it's weird that they moved it to Tuesdays.
It's because Dancing with the Stars is on. It doesn't usually air in the fall. I think that's part of the fatigue because I'm trying to take a pulse on like what people are thinking of this season.
Right.
There's major fatigue. There's not usually, this is an extra season. We wasted our time with Katie. Katie had better guys. Michelle's a better bachelorette and Michelle should have gotten Katie's guys because these guys are not it. But I will let you tell me what you think of Michelle before I go off.
I love Michelle. Mm-hmm. I think Michelle is so beautiful and smart and just like too good for this.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And these guys are
tough.
It's tough. It's a tough crew.
It's a tough crew. Let's get into it with Martin because he got the first one-on-one and that was a surprise for me. Personally, I kind of didn't know Martin was in the game. And there's just a lot to look at with Martin. We've got the cutoff flannel. We've got the nose ring. We've got the earrings. We've got the hair. We've got the cutouts in the hair. It's just pick a lane. We got the glasses by the end. I was like, oh, we don't need the glasses too, Martin. There's too many accessories on Martin.
There, I have never seen men wear so many accessories like I have on the last night's episode of The Bachelorette.
Yes.
Like not just Martin, Nate loves an earring, a dangle.
Loves an earring.
Loves a dangly earring. Loves to layer a necklace. I was like, whoa. Okay, but here's the thing with Martin. Let's talk about him. The fake Maluma, the bootleg Maluma.
Yes.
He's so hot.
Yes. Okay.
But he's so Florida.
Wow. And now we see
him.
Yes.
He's so Miami. It feels very Miami to me. He's really hot.
He is hot. I think it's just there's too much of it.
There's so much.
Yeah.
It's like, didn't Coco Chanel or someone say like, take off, like look in the mirror and take off one piece of jewelry. Yes. I think he needs to stop accessorizing.
And I think Countess Luann stole that quote and tried to make it her own at one point.
Of course she did. Of course she did. But you know, it was a lot with the cutoff flannel and the bleached hair. And like you said, the razor cutouts, the nose ring. I don't enjoy a man with a nose ring. I have to tell you.
I barely enjoy a woman with a nose ring. I certainly do not need a man with a nose ring. It has to be a specific look.
A nose ring is acceptable if you're not 30.
Totally. Totally.
I find people with nose rings over the age of 30. Like I love Amanda Petula, but then I'm upset about it.
On her wedding day.
She wore it on her wedding day. And I was like, I don't love that.
I don't either.
But she commits. And I mean, as we know, but yeah, Martin hot, but it's tough.
It's tough.
I think Michelle really likes him.
You do. Okay. So they did like the car racing thing, which was fine. Like we've done that on this show before. It was very Footloose-esque with the flannel.
Very Grease.
Yes. I loved that she beat him. That was fun. Mm. And then we were in a silver tin bucket hot tub, which felt right. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since we had a hot tub brought in because of COVID. And they've been at these resorts, but now we had was it supposed to be like a car or something? Why was it like a tin?
I don't understand a lot of what goes on in The Bachelor. Cause you know, I'm heavy Bravo, I lean more Bravo, and I find that the intersection of the two is rare that you find someone who's very Bravo and Bachelor. So like the production aspect of it all is very troubling to me because on Bravo, it's like, you know, production plays a role in the show. You just do.
Right.
But it's not as obvious. Like there was something that happened on this episode of The Bachelorette that really deeply upset me.
What is it?
I mean, do you want to talk about Rick?
I like Rick. We're going to fight about Rick.
All right. Now everyone loves Rick.
Hold on, save it. Let's wrap up Martin.
Yeah. Let's talk about Martin. Sorry.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say about Rick. Okay. But yes, Martin. So whatever, the classic
what
date.
What do you feel?
About Martin?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's fine. He wasn't really around much in the first couple episodes, so I was surprised he got the one-on-one, to be honest. I think she does like him. I agree with you. She definitely was like feeling a vibe. They have some chemistry. The night portion, he also did this thing where he was trying to like stand up for Jamie, who was the villain last week. He went home and there was no reason for that. So I don't like when the guys try to like, that's my dude. Like you can feel that way, which I know this is a very bromance heavy episode, which I have plenty to say about in a second,
but heavy.
I didn't like him like saying like defending Jamie, and then in the night portion he felt like he flipped a switch, like I'm gonna put my glasses on, I'm gonna talk about my dad, I'm gonna talk about my daddy issues.
You know
that's your story.
This man was like, I don't cry, I'm like, right? Red fucking flags.
Yeah.
And like the thing about the men that go on The Bachelor is, and I feel like it pertains to men in real life, is they think that they deserve like a cookie for identifying a feeling.
Ooh, I like that.
And they don't. Like, just because you can acknowledge the fact that you are emotionally stunted, like, doesn't mean that you're suddenly like so profound.
Cured.
Yeah.
Or like that you, just because you said it doesn't mean that you've done the work. Like you've recognized.
And you know what? You know what I learned in therapy is that sometimes
I love therapy.
Is sometimes being so self-aware is actually a defense mechanism because it allows you to put up like a wall that's like, well, I already know that about me, so it's okay. And it's like, actually, bitch, it's not okay.
Right. Like it's, you still, just because you know you do it doesn't mean you have an excuse.
Right. And Michelle, I think she just really attracted to him. I don't think they have like a deep connection. I think she's definitely like, ooh.
Yeah. I agree. Cause she definitely, and she's good at, Michelle is doing a thing that a lot of the bachelors don't do very well, or bachelors specifically, where she's like leading the conversation and she's setting them up to look great, which is good. Cause and Ben Higgins actually brought this up to me recently, and it was like a lot of the leads in the last couple of years just like kiss them and are like, thanks for sharing, and move on and like don't ask questions. Michelle is doing what a lead shouldn't even have to do, but like is making these guys look better than they are because she's giving them an opportunity to talk. And a lot of times they kind of are just like, oh, thank you for sharing. And then they make out and then we move on. This feels like Michelle is genuinely listening, cares about them. But I agree with these two. It does feel a little physical. Then we were like in like a random star like situation with a telescope or whatever it's called.
There was a lot going on this date.
Yeah. It was very chaotic actually.
I would be exhausted.
Yeah. It is.
I'd be like, we raced a car. Can we eat? Like, can we order Grubhub? Like, can we Postmate something?
They're not
like,
allowed I'm to done. Eat. So if you never know, they never eat on the show.
They never eat.
No, it's not glamorous. I think they maybe wasted the budget on this date because then the group date had no budget.
This group date.
Let's get into it.
Oh my God. These men, when they were like, pillow fighting, one was doing a face mask, one was laying in this big teddy bear, I was like, what the fuck am I watching?
That's the
Michelle was like really upset.
Yeah, she was. So we start
she
this date.
She was like, what she even said, she was like, what am I doing here?
That was my favorite. That was my highlight of the episode when she said to the producer, what the F am I doing here? The group date, it was like pajama party themed. I don't know if they were maybe trying to say something about, because like the show obviously gets crap sometimes, deservedly so, about like stereotypes, and you know, they would make the women have a pillow fight, so let's have the guys do one. Like, I don't know if that was them thinking they were doing something here by making a slumber party, but instead, like, Michelle looked so cute in like little knockoff Skims. The guys were given pajamas, kind of aggressive. Like, were they body shaming Rodney by giving him a onesie? Like, I didn't love that. And then giving S like risky business. Like, I didn't love the assignments with the PJs. They should have all gotten the same pajamas.
They all should have got, I wanted them in uniform.
Yes. It's easier to compare.
I didn't want them in personality pajamas. I wanted uniform pajamas.
I never want anyone in personality pajamas.
I was like, the way... And it always makes me laugh about The Bachelor and Bachelorette is like when these people talk about The Bachelor or Bachelorette in confessionals, they talk about them like they are
the only woman or man in the world
that they've ever seen.
Yes.
And Michelle is stunning, gorgeous, like beautiful woman. But when I forget his name, to be completely honest with you. But when he was in the confessional and she walked in that little Fashion Nova Skims knockoff.
Yes.
And he just was like, she is so beautiful in that matching set. I'm like, okay, please relax.
Like, he's never been on Instagram before.
Like, sir, I know you follow Summer Rae on Instagram. Like, you are not above like a Thotiana.
No, definitely not. But this party was, we had ice cream, we had cotton candy, we had Twister, we had pedicures, we had cucumbers, masks, and we had Build-A-Bear, which I guess then I was surprised, because a lot of times during these group dates, they do something silly and then they get to the night portion, which is supposed to be the Michelle center of attention. But instead, after we did our silly slumber party where Michelle was already feeling like no one was talking to her, we went into a Nikki and Brie Bella situation.
Guys, I gotta tell you, I
had no idea
Bella
they were
going
to be on. You do. Okay, let's talk about the Bella twins for 20 minutes. What are your feelings on the Bella twins?
I love the Bella twins. It is like, and I hate the term guilty pleasure. Mm-hmm. I really do. But Total Bellas, this was like my guilty pleasure.
Really?
Like, no one knew I watched it. It was like top secret. I love these ding dongs. Like, I can't get enough of them.
Wow.
I did not know that
about you. That is,
I know.
So
no one does. No one knows. Really. So when I saw, when the curtain pulled back and I saw my girls, I was like, oh my God, Nikki and Brie.
No, I think it was interesting. I think they are very good TV. They know how to be on camera. That's
but why
sure.
were they there? Like, what was going on?
No, well, no idea, because they answered the phone. I think at this point,
no,
they just,
rhyme or reason.
They used to get like Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis to come like host today, because they're like Secret Bachelor fans. Now we have the Bella twins, I guess because it was wrestling, but it wasn't wrestling. And you do make people like wrestle on the show sometimes, but it was just a glorified pillow fight with homemade teddy bears. I was so confused what we were watching, and that we watched it for so long. It was like 20 minutes.
I was like, what is happening? Also, you know how there's that, how people are like, okay, I don't know. I'm like losing my train of thought. Sorry. I'm like, not okay. It felt to me that this is like what men think women do at slumber parties. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that never happens.
Yeah, have you ever had a pillow fight?
Never.
Me either.
In life. Like, it's never happened. I've never once picked up a pillow and hit my friend over the head with it, ever.
No, and I never will. I hope not, at least. I hope I've gotten past that opportunity.
If my friend ever came over to my house, went in my room, picked up a pillow and hit me over the head with it, I would kick her out. I'd be like, it's time for you to leave.
This is over. Whatever this is, it's over.
Like,
no, it was so silly. And
so silly. And poor Michelle.
Poor Michelle, because we mentioned with the producer earlier in the episode saying like, what the F am I doing here? She was talking about how she felt unseen, which I felt bad for her, but that very quickly became like a buzzword that was like, all right, we get it. Unlovable, unseen. It's like they always push, it's like bullying on the housewives when they like say a word or gaslighting.
She said it a lot.
What would you be thinking if you were Michelle and you were the Bachelorette and she had just watched all these girls fight over Matt James and now she is the Bachelorette and these guys are deciding to have a pedicure or eat cotton candy instead of hang out with her? Like, I would lose it too.
Yeah, when she was like talking to them, and all of a sudden, like you saw her like change because she was like, "I'm gonna have a good time." Yes. That wouldn't be me. Mm-mm. I would be like, "We are talking about this right now."
No, that's right now. Michelle is a great person, and she knows. She knows. No, I really do think so.
And a lot and of you and I are not.
And we are not. And we know that. And that's
so this is why we're not the Bachelorette.
And never will be. I mean, never. They would have to pull out a lot of. They have to cut a lot of clips from the show from the internet. So I was never gonna be on the show. Yes, but. I think that Michelle, you're right. She handled it so well and you could tell she was upset. And it's probably so many reasons she was upset. Like she has these expectations and she wants someone to pursue her. And yeah. Any girl wants that in like life, let alone on a show where that's the actual premise. Like mm-hmm. you must be questioning herself. She's like, did these guys not like me at all? It's such mm-hmm. a head game. There was too many guys on the group date too. They had 12 of them there. A lot of times I feel like a little early for them to invite every single dude besides the two one-on-ones. I didn't like that. Maybe that was why. But I really did feel for her and I thought she handled it really well because she didn't want to be known as like a diva. And as you and I were saying, we wouldn't have handled it quite as gracefully.
No, I would have been like, I'm sorry, what is going on? Like, why are you boys with face masks hitting each other with teddy bears? Like, it's weird. It's getting weird.
It's getting weird.
Words of Mimi Leaks.
And Caitlin and Tayshia tried to like make it fun. And I think that this is a mm-hmm. classic case. I've said this 1,000 times since they've taken over because there's been some, you know, it's hit or miss with whether the fans are liking them or not.
I enjoy them.
I do too. And I think these are just examples of things. Chris Harrison, yes, he might've been a little more polished with his delivery of this is the final rose tonight, but he didn't genuinely, like they had instinct. They knew immediately that Michelle was uncomfortable, upset. Mm-hmm. They were like, do you want to talk about it? Do you not? Okay, let's make this date fun. Like they are there to serve Michelle. Chris Harrison was there to serve Chris Harrison. Like that was the difference.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And I could feel that like, cause they're like, we've been in this position. So we know the ins and outs and like, we know how you're feeling right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I see these men not even speaking to you. And I always want to know like, how long were they filming? Like, did we really see them not try or was it set up that way? Like I'm always questioning.
Oh, that's always. As you should be. And it's interesting because I've talked to contestants before and they tell me that usually when the guys want to talk to the lead or the girls want to talk to the lead, however it is, they go to their producer and their producer kind of puts them in like a line. It's like a Netflix queue. It's like, you're up here. So that's why when they have it in their head, like, okay, I'm going third, I'm after Chris S. And then you see Nate or whoever swoop in and take your spot. That's why you start getting mad at them because your producer told you you're next. You have this moment. So the producers do guide kind of who's talking. So yeah. Did the producers not want Michelle to be talking to the guys for some reason? Was this like the narrative this week? Because it really doesn't make sense. But I think it also might have just been a group date with too many activities for these men to handle.
Truthfully, men are such
simple humans.
Simpletons. Yeah. Simpletons.
Shout out to no men who listen to this podcast, so it's fine.
Yeah. Hey, guys. You know what? I think that's maybe what it was. Like they were overstimulated. Like they didn't know what was going on. They saw shiny things and they just gravitated towards them mm-hmm. and they just like, they weren't thinking. And I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
But it's hard.
Are you there for the right reasons?
Yeah. I think they're there for friends. As you said, you texted me, I believe. Your first text was, are these men here for friends? And for once, I believe they are here for friends.
Yeah. I'm like, these men feel like they're there to meet like boys, like bromances. And I'm like,
and that happened in the beginning of the episode too, with Martin trying to like defend Jamie. So the bromances are a little too real. You do want to see them getting along to some degree. Cause if you're going to end up with any of these guys, you don't want it to be the one who everybody hated. Cause that obviously says something about if they can't make any friends, but you also want them to want to be with you and not only with the dudes.
Correct. Balance. We need a balance.
Did any guys during the fight stand out to you at all with, because Olu personally, his body was just beautiful.
I am in love with him.
He was a standout. For an episode where not many of them stood out, he was a standout for me.
He is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And when she opened up, and he got so emotional and was like, my sisters, like I've seen this, you know, like mm-hmm. I was just like, what a prince.
I know. The bar was low, like we said, but I really thought
the bar is in the gutter, but he really, like he went to the next level because it felt real. To me, like, it felt like he was really, I mean, he was a beautiful crier.
Yeah,
I was like, props to you.
I agree.
But yeah, I really, he was the standout for me from the entire episode, really.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I love him.
it's love. I agree. I really like him too. I'm glad he got
the I tried to find him on Instagram. Couldn't.
Nowhere? Really?
Maybe I was like doing something wrong. I don't know.
Maybe he has you blocked for some reason.
Imagine, the birds.
I know. It was just, oh my God, that would be hilarious. No, he was great. I'm glad he got the group date rose. His tears did feel real and genuine, which is very rare for reality television, let alone this program.
And I think Michelle responded well to that. I think she liked it.
What about, I don't know if you know Clayton is the next Bachelor. He hasn't gotten much screen time, including this episode. Do you have any generic, general thoughts about Clayton from what you've seen so far? Do you even know which one Clayton is?
Are you watching my face?
Yes. You're like, but that's the point. He's not getting any attention, and I don't care.
He is the large man with the beard.
Yes, he's very large.
Is he the one that...
In this episode...
The fact I can't even place him.
No, but
why is he the next Bachelor?
We don't know. That is the question.
The fuck...
It's so confusing. This episode, it's been all the same ones. Like, he's gotten no, he fought Joe in his teddy bear fight. If that gives you any indication, if you remember which one Joe is, you probably don't. Because I have to memorize these guys' names. But Clayton, it's hilarious that.
I also hate the name Clayton.
That's fair.
Because I think that's the evil man in Tarzan's name.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the poacher.
Wow. Deep cut for Tarzan.
Yeah, deep cut. Shout out to Phil Collins.
Your reaction said it all.
Yeah. Like, why? I don't know. I want someone to be the next Bachelor who's like a no name.
Oh, like, not even like on the show before?
Not even on the show.
Well, they tried that with Matt James, even though he wasn't a no name because he's Tyler Cameron's best friend, but he it was too much of the season was like teaching Matt James how to be on camera. That was a problem.
With his eyes open.
Yeah, exactly. And after watching him on Dancing with the Stars, I genuinely liked Matt always. Anytime I interacted with him off camera, he was very nice. And on Dancing with the Stars, he came off much more whatever. I think The Bachelor was not a good format for him because he wasn't used to being on reality television. And that's the sign of a good human, but a bad reality star. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and that wasn't good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't. That's
no, I get it. You're right. Okay.
But you're I know right. what you mean. Like, it, oh, thank you. I know what you mean, but I think that they learned that the hard way, that it's like we have to have someone who like knows what a producer
Clayton
is.
Attractive?
Yeah. He's like a normal guy you would meet. I mean, he's a football player. He's tall and big, but like if you went to any college school, you would meet that kid at the bar after the football. Like, it's very generic.
Yeah. I want someone like an oil tycoon's like grandson. Ooh. Like, I want rich. I want money, honey. I want Dallas. I want dynasty.
Give me a character.
I want someone like who owns a vineyard. Like, that's
Nick Parker. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah. Like, oh my God. My dream. I want a Nick Parker. I don't want someone who's like there for social media. I want someone who's like, I'm so above this, almost like a Quincy Morgan.
Oh, Sonia Morgan's daughter.
Sonia Morgan's daughter. Yeah, sorry. You guys don't know. You don't know who Quincy Morgan is. But she's like so wealthy and so elite that like she barely is on Instagram. She just paints all day. Like, she's one of those people that's so rich that she can be an artist.
Oh, love that for her.
And it's like, that's the kind of person I want. I don't want someone who's like there to get like flat tummy tea.
Yeah, I agree. And Clayton is basically just Colton again, but hopefully it goes better. I think that's the consensus. He's a football player. He's a tall white guy. Now we have Jesse Palmer as our new host. So they will be bonding over those things. But it's almost like a joke at this point. Like, it's like they're pranking us, like by putting him in every episode where you hear Michelle say his name at least once or twice, but you don't actually hear him say anything or do anything. Last week, Clayton literally said on his group date, you know, I haven't had a chance to stand out yet. And I was like, they kept that in to troll us. Like, this is a weird thing. I know the like big emotional one-on-one where he has trauma must be coming, but it's very distracting for me to watch the show like this.
I've learned that that is a thing now on Bachelorette, mm-hmm. is the trauma.
Yes. Trauma, yes. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Rick.
Trauma bonding. Okay, speaking of trauma.
So Rick, I have loved so far this season. I still cannot decide whether he's wearing eyeliner. That's been my biggest issue with Rick so far. But I will say he started this episode, his one-on-one date, thinking that he was going to get a run and jump, toddler jump situation when he got out of that car.
And he body slammed her.
He body slammed her. It was too soon for the toddler jump. Mm-hmm. Rick has clearly watched the Bachelorette.
He cracked her back. I had to rewatch it. There's a
was there a noise?
Yes. Stop. I'm like, oh. Stop.
Like that stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff.
Go back and rewatch it. There's a crack.
I will. I will go back because I was so distracted by, oh no, he thought he was lifting her up because that's what they do on this show. But that is right. For hometowns, dude. You're not there yet. You don't get to pick her up and spin her around. Nope. And they did like a hiking heights situation. So they were outdoors. I think I zoned out a little bit. But they were hiking.
Our DSW Holiday Pros are here to help you find the perfect season-making shoes for you and gifts for everyone on your list. Whether it's cozy UGG slippers for your mom, wear everywhere Adidas sneakers for the kids, or must-have Sorel boots just for you, DSW has gifts for everyone in every budget. Want it ASAP? Buy online and pick up in the store in just 2 hours. Can't make it to the store? You can't go wrong with an e-gift card. However you're gifting this year, DSW's got you covered. Head to DSW to see our picks for making their season bright.
Let's talk about this wish box, this note wish box that they right. stumbled upon mm-hmm. with very convenient notes,
yes.
I will say.
About fathers.
The producers are so fucking shady. They were like, this guy has father trauma. Oh, write a note about how your dad, how you wish you could see where you are now.
Yeah. No, it was.
Hold that note out. Oh, it was so weird. I wish I had a love like my grandparents. And Michelle was like, I do. I was like, shut the fuck up.
Well, the thing is also Michelle, not that she shouldn't be like faulted for this by any means, but her parents are still together. She comes from like an amazing family and that's great. But our leads, we usually don't have that. Like they usually have some sort of trauma they're working through too. So it's like these guys are spilling it. And she's like, oh, I don't have that. Like she talks about being biracial and things like that, which is obviously a whole other discussion. And she, it's a huge part of her story and she's been open about that and sharing everything like that. But when it comes to the parent stuff, it's interesting that these guys keep talking about their parents and her whole like first episode was like, oh, my parents are still together. I want to love like them. And these guys are all like, my dad had an affair on Christmas or whatever the story was.
Okay. Cause when they pulled that note out that said, you know, I wish my dad could see how far I came or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, what are we about to unpack? Because I already, okay, listen, I don't like Rick.
Tell me why.
I don't enjoy him. I find him to be very...
Just say it.
No, I can't. I was already warned before I came on this podcast by a friend of mine. My friend Allison, who works for the Dip, she was like, rein it in. Rein it the fuck in. I was like, okay. So...
This is usmagazine.com.
Yeah. You are in my phone where it says company, usmagazine.com.
Facts are facts.
So listen, there's something about him that I find to be so unsettling. Like he makes me very, very uncomfortable.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's because he's on camera or what, and he's like nervous or something. I don't know. I don't enjoy how he speaks. Okay. He talks almost like a baby and like I don't like his mouth. I'm sure he's a nice person.
Right. Oh, that's always, yes. They're nice people, whatever, but we're talking
I don't enjoy watching him. He makes me deeply uncomfortable. The way that he was like holding her behind, it felt very like stiff and like, I don't know. Like there's something like my palms are sweating. There's something inside me that's like, Michelle, run for the fucking hills.
Wow.
And
now we said it.
And now when he opened up, I was like, that's really sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad. My heart breaks for him. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't love a man whispering to me.
Okay. So it's more about how he delivers his messages than his messages.
He was talking to her like this. Thank you for letting me.
It was Christmas.
I would be like, that was Christmas morning. I'm like, why the fuck are you a spy? Like, and the way he just like looks at her, I don't know. Like, there's something just very eerie to me about him. Like, okay.
She doesn't like Rick. It's fine. I do like Rick a decent amount, but I did
everyone
not
likes
love,
Rick.
I did not like his falling, feels like I'm falling in love with you already situation. It's too soon.
Weird.
There's 14 guys left. I don't like the dropping of an L-bomb. You go, this is where you go with like, I could see something happening here. Don't bring up an L-bomb. This is a little bit too soon, Ricky.
Yeah.
And I was rooting for you. And I did think the story about his parents was interesting. I actually wanted to know more. Usually when they're talking about their like parents or their like trauma in life, I can recognize that's sad. I either can relate to it or I can't relate to it, but I recognize it for what it is. Thank you for sharing. Let's move on. I actually wanted to know more. I feel like there's a lot about Rick's parents that like he, like this.
There's his, more.
There's more. There's mm-hmm. definitely more. And then Andy Grammer was here, which is, you know, big celeb cameo episode for The Bachelor.
When Michelle had to plug Andy Grammer and his new song, yeah. his new hit single,
his new hit single.
Like, oh my God. There's always, and you know what really got me through this scene is the fact Michelle was so beautiful in her
yes.
gown. And I was like, they did Katie so dirty with
oh,
her
my God.
Looks. And then Michelle shows up and she's in this shimmering gold gown with her like beautiful like lip color. Like everything just looks so glowy. And I was mm-hmm. like, they threw Katie in Charlotte Russe.
No, they really did. It. And everything about Katie's season just felt so like,
a flop.
What are we doing here? But the guys, I did like a lot of those guys. And these guys, I feel like we have the backdrop. We have this resort. We have Michelle, who's stunning. We have the clothes. We have everything. We have the Bella twins. But then we have these guys who just like aren't doing it for me. And it's confusing because let's talk about Nate. Because Nate is the clear front runner.
Nate with a Y.
Nate with a Y and with two earrings that almost, you know, that
one
dangle.
One is a dangle.
That yes, he's very serious about his jewelry. He will probably be starting a jewelry company. He should team mm-hmm. up with Martin if they know what's good for them. Take Alexis
then
Water.
Then should team hoops. Up with Teresa Giudice.
Oh.
Jewels by Teresa.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I heard actually about that. And it's mm-hmm. she's not designing the jewelry. She's just picking it out, which I recognize. Girl, recognize your strengths.
Yeah. It says that on her Instagram bio.
Recognize your strengths?
It was like, no. Oh. It says, not designed by Teresa.
You know what?
Just selected.
Self-awareness. It always comes full circle. It always comes full circle.
We love.
But Nate. And Nate is a favorite on the internet, is a favorite for Michelle. She, even during the group date, like pulled him aside and she's like, I'm disappointed in you because I know we have a connection. Like you didn't steal me. He gets in a little bit of drama with Chris S, which we can talk about. I personally don't like Nate. And I don't okay. have a real reason. The same way you feel about Rick is kind of how I feel about Nate. I just don't trust him. And
you think he's got it in the bag. You think he said that?
Yeah, I do think he said that.
Or I think so too.
I think he said something along those lines. And these guys, they make the mistake of trusting the wrong person or saying like cocky things. Like they all want to be the Bachelor. They all think they have it in the bag, but you can't say it to the guy who's going to go snitch on you. So like Chris S is a loser. Like he's a dweeb. Like
a dweeb.
He's a dweeb. Like I agree with that. But I also agree that Nate is cocky and it rubs me the wrong way. It's way too early to be this cocky.
And I think Michelle actually believes Chris S.
She kept him around, which I know they always keep the villain, but last week she got rid of, so far she's gotten rid of the villains very quickly and she kept this guy. So I know the producers like do that, but I think she believes him too.
Yeah. There's a part of me that's like, she definitely knows Nate said that.
Yeah.
But I don't think Nate is wrong.
Yeah.
I think he does have it in the bag.
I think he does too, because his only real competition is Joe, who didn't really get much screen time this week, but he is from Minnesota. They had Instagrammed DM'd before the season, like 2 years ago, and he ghosted her. But Michelle has like been holding a candle for him. It's very clear. Like she's very smitten with him, but she knows like her heart is like, or her head is like, this guy ghosted me. I shouldn't, like she almost sent him home first night, but she's like so attracted to him that she kept him around. And now they're going back to Minnesota. So they're going to have like a, what could have been Minnesota. He played basketball. She played basketball. Like it's like a high school boyfriend you can't get over is her relationship with Joe. So that's Nate's only real competition.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
There's something about a guy named Joe. Grocery store Joe, you know.
Yeah, I know.
My king.
I know. And Nate with a Y is tough. That's a tough name.
Nate with a fucking Y. Someone on Twitter yesterday said that he looked like Chris Brown.
Oh, a little.
And I see that.
When Chris Brown was like on the OC and doing like, yo, excuse me, miss, and like run it or run this town, whatever that song was called, that era of Chris Brown.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to get into the current era. No, no. But Nate, okay, Chris S.
Yes,
I think he is a tiny little demon.
Fair.
But I enjoyed the drama.
I did too. This episode needed a little spice.
It needed a little spice. He was like, add a little bit of spice. Like that TikTok sound. Like it's very that. Yeah. It was very that. And I was like, you know what? I am enjoying it. When he said that he was going to wink at Olu, I was like, but then he didn't. I'm like, yeah. Oh, fucking pussy.
That was lame. I was lame.
You know
I was
would have?
Who would have?
Evil Chad.
Oh my God, Chad Johnson. Talk about
the hairiest man on earth.
No, I heard that's Aaron Rodgers, Shailene Woodley.
Oh my God. And she was like, I know his feet are big. I'm like, God, shut up. Go eat some clay. So annoying.
Go brush your teeth with like the soil. Yeah. I appreciate Chris S. for giving us something to talk about as well. But then I didn't like when Nate was confronting him about it, and he immediately then tried to blame Michelle, and he was like, she probed me. Like, dude, own it. If you're going to be the pot stirrer, you cannot start blaming the lead. You're never going to win if you're blaming the lead for your problems.
No. And you also, I didn't enjoy the fact that he was like, are you going to hit me?
Yeah.
I'm like, just because his hands, when he rests them, are on the same level as your eye line.
Like, sorry, he's tall.
Yeah. Like, he can't help it. So it's like when he's talking with his hands, they happen to be in your face because that's just the height situation. Yeah. He's not going to hit you.
No.
Rick was like disgusted by Chris S.
Rick is serious about Michelle.
Rick is like, this is unacceptable.
Unacceptable behavior by Chris S. Also, I don't know who the other Chris is, but I love that we have to call him Chris S. I guess there's another Chris running around. I don't even know who that is.
We don't know because he's not giving Michelle any attention.
No, because none of them are. They all did a horrible job.
None of them are. Do you think they are actually into her? What do you think?
I don't know. I think Nate is. I think Joe is. I think Brandon, who was the one who you see at the way end, like right before the rose ceremony, he's one of the ones like when we lock eyes, we're like having a moment.
Yeah.
He's really cute. Looks like he gets maybe some one-on-one time next week based on the promo. Rodney is the guy who did the handshake thing with her. They're very friend-zoned, but he just seems like a nice human.
He seems like a really good guy. He is definitely not going to win.
No, no chance. He showed up as going apple home on soon. Night one. He was in like an apple costume because she's a teacher. The costume guys never usually win.
Oh God. Yeah. The producers are like, we know you're not going to make it far. But he seems like a good guy.
Yeah. You keep him around because Michelle needs people who she doesn't want to feel like she's going to blow her brains out when she speaks to, and they can be their friend. So there's always like a token friend who goes to like final, like six-ish, then gets to go on Paradise and usually gets a very good edit on everything and just gets like a good, decent semi-influencer life. And they deserve it because they're a decent human. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I love that for him.
I love that for him too. I'm loving that trajectory for Rodney. I know we will see him on Paradise. And
what kind of person would you be on if you were a contestant? What contestant would you be?
Well, I guess.
Like if you, like what kind of energy would you be bringing to the table?
If I went on before there was rules about drinking, I would be the drunk girl who fell over at the rose ceremony and got sent home. But now that they have a drinking rule, I would probably be the girl who was stirring the pot because someone would tell me something and then I would immediately go tell the other girl that she said it and then I'd deny it and I'd probably be Chris S, unfortunately.
I love it.
I think I'd be bored. I don't think I would do well with like one guy as the like, no. Like I think I would immediately be like, I'm out. Like he doesn't like me. I'm going to just try to keep myself entertained here unless like there was some amazing connection, which I doubt would happen. Then I would just probably hide. And I think I would get away with it because people like to tell me things and I don't think they realize that sometimes I can, you know, be maybe on the side. Gossip. We're gossip queen.
I love to gossip. I think gossip has such a bad rep. I think it's like, so I think it's like, not to get all like weird, but I feel like it's very rooted in like internalized misogyny. The fact that people don't like say that gossip is bad. I'm like, are you kidding? How do you think stories were told back in the day?
We're just storytellers.
We're storytellers.
Also, if you think about it, I mean, like sports and stuff, like you're not gossiping necessarily about their personality, but you're shit talking whether they're good at it or not, or you want them on your team. It's the same thing. You're judging people. We're humans. Yeah. We judge them. And there's a difference.
You know what my mom says?
What does she say?
Mary, wise woman, says, you're not judgmental. You're opinionated.
And thank you, Mary, for the validation. Thanks, Mom. That's the housewife tagline.
Yeah, it's, I know, it's twirl. Yeah, I can definitely see that for you. I think you would be like as demonic as Chris S.
I don't think so either.
But you would definitely be like, you know what? What was her name? Corinne?
Oh, yeah. With less of cream on my boobs for the bachelor to lick off.
Yeah, like it would be like, you would be like fun like that. Like you would be like stirring it up.
Yeah, I think I would just be like, listen, like watch out for that girl. Like she, and like drop a little bomb and kind of like just let everybody know what was going on and maybe keep things. Mm-hmm. I think I'd be a producer's dream.
You'd be the storyteller.
I would be like I'm Lauren Conrad. This is my show. But I also think that I would say some sarcastic stuff probably that if they wanted to cut it, they could make me look crazy. Cause usually that's what happens. Like the villains are, they're very sarcastic in their confessionals and then they cut out the funny part and they just look insane. So there's a chance I could fall into that. I think I would definitely be one of those people who I would leave and be like, I could do so much with this edit. I can't wait to see. How do you think you would do?
Horrible.
Out night one.
Out. They'd be like, she's so fucking boring. Get her out of here.
See, I know because I'd make it far because I'd be storytelling.
I truthfully just feel like I wouldn't have the energy. I think I have an iron deficiency because I'm constantly exhausted. And I just like, I think I would just be like, you can talk to me if you want to talk to me.
Find me. I'm the lead now.
You know what? Maybe I would be the guys on this group date. Like I would be like,
You're the one who's just eating cotton candy in the corner.
Yeah, because I also would be like looking at all these beautiful girls and I'd be like, oh my God, what am I doing here?
Yeah, the insecurity level would be
skyrocket. Either I would be sleepy and off within the first night, or I would just be giving really good confessionals.
So they would need you too, just to
keep it interesting. Like an observer.
Yeah.
I would be like Bethany Frankel season 3. Like I would be like,
she was pregnant, so she was a little tired, but she still was bringing the funny.
She was the Greek chorus. She was like narrating, like you said, like what's going on.
Right. So if there was like Kelly Killorn, Ben Simone on your season, you would be the one to let us know that she is indeed crazy in real life.
Yes, exactly. So like maybe you and I would make it a little far.
I think we would be quite the pair on the same season.
Oh my God, we should sign up.
I think we should just send this in.
Yeah, this is our audition.
This is our audition. And then they'd be like, okay, they pre-planned their whole thing. They're snakes and horrible.
one of my best friends, she is dying for us to go on Married at First Sight together.
Wow.
I said, you're fucking nuts. No.
You'd get legally married on that show.
Yeah, I know.
And it doesn't get enough of a reach that it's worth it. You got to get on like Love is Blind if you want to get like a million followers. So Married at First Sight, it was shocking because I used to watch that show in the way beginning and I haven't just because there's too many other bigger shows like this franchise that never ends. Do you have a prediction on how the rest of the season's going to go?
I think I can picture if these men don't get their shit together soon, I could picture Michelle kind of maybe sending more than just like one person home. I can see her just being like, you're done. Like if they're on the next group date and the same thing happens again. And she's like, I actually don't even have a connection with you. You need to leave.
I think so too.
Like, cause she's like, if I've already expressed to you how I felt multiple times, get out of here.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think,
I think Nate's going to win.
I think Nate's going to win too.
Joe?
I think it's going to get down to Nate and Joe and she's going to have this whole internal debate and then Joe's going to lose. And
then he'll be the next bachelor.
No, because it's Clayton.
Well, after Clayton.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard Reality Steve said that they're doing Clayton and then they'll do, apparently they might sneak in another season of The Bachelor in the spring, then do Paradise and then keep The Bachelorette in this fall slot and then like rotate what the fourth season is. And it's like, I'm begging you guys, like I don't need four seasons of this. And then Paradise gets so complicated because there's so many people to keep track of and there's less people to pick from. And this year Paradise was amazing, but there was too many people on the beach. And it's like, there's other news.
I mean, at least you have job security.
Good point. Spin zone. I like that. I like that. You're right. Like, you're right.
Like, I mean, it's keeping you employed.
That's fair. I should be grateful. I should. But I'm just, but I
am. No, you're exhausted. I get burnt out from Bravo. I do. Like, yes. I get Bravo burnout. Like,
but right now, we're in like the most epic Bravo thing ever situation. So you can't feel burnout right now. You must be loving it. Do you have a confession?
I'm really burnt out.
Damn, Jen Shaw should have given you, like, revived you.
I love, listen, I've been saying this for a long time. I'm really upset that they put Salt Lake City right after Potomac.
Okay.
Because I'm just not in that.
We're just airing them back to back.
Back to back. Okay. Like, I can't do it. Like, I need Potomac on one night, Salt Lake City on another night.
Okay, I get that.
I can't do the Salt. I can't. I mean, but I will.
Yeah. I mean, you have to.
I actually have to, but
yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We did
it. Any hot takes?
Hot takes. I mean, I love Salt Lake City so much. I think that they are all insane.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite?
I mean, Heather is if I like actually favorite, like whatever, but I just love me some Whitney Rose so much. That might be a hot take. Because and like
the people love her,
but it just like her dynamic with Mary, like that whole thing. Because obviously, the Jen Shaw was just, I mean, chills for the whole 10 minutes, but the fight with Mary and Whitney over the costume was just instant classic to me. Like, that was so good.
That was the stuff of legends.
It really was.
Yeah. No, it was.
I was loving Whitney.
Get this woman to be a producer of Bachelor.
Oh, totally.
Like, make her like send invitations out to like clowns and just make them do stupid shit.
Mary is just like the wildest person we've had on television in such a long time.
I've never seen anything like her ever.
There's no words really.
She's sinister, mm-hmm. but I enjoy it.
Right. We got her out of the closet. It's mm-hmm. all the cult stuff. I love a cult more than anything. So that I cannot wait.
My personal favorite is Jen Shaw.
Wow. Let's unpack that for a second. Really?
I love her.
Are you worried about her going to jail?
She's probably going.
You know what's funny is Bravo aired the Teresa Checks In special before a Real Housewives of Salt Lake City marathon on Sunday. And I was like, that was shady.
So fucking shady. Bravo is so smart. And yeah. I can picture them doing what they did with Teresa and like holding off on filming mm-hmm. until she gets back from jail. I don't think Jen's going to go to jail for that long, personally.
Probably not. I mean, Lori Loughlin did like 2 months.
She literally walked around like the jail yard like one or two times and was like, all right.
Aunt Becky's out.
Yep. I'm back on Hallmark.
Yeah, literally. She's on the Hallmark like spinoff now channel. Yeah, I just love Salt Lake City. I'm so excited for Sunday. I know they're hyping it up, which usually it means it probably won't be as good as they're saying, but these women kill me. And they're still so in it because it's so early that they still feel like they have to be there. And I feel like Potomac brings that energy too. Those women would never like refuse to, even like Robin and Giselle refusing to go on that trip. They still came by the end. Like they still show up, and that's how mm-hmm. you know they're doing their job. And they're on like their sixth season, and they've been getting more hype than ever. Potomac finally, deservingly so. And they still show up, and you know, like the Karen Giselle thing will be like a mate will always go down as like a great back and forth. They're just consistently good.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Candace?
Oh, well, do you want to fight? You love Candace.
The girls are fighting.
I cannot stand Candace.
Yeah.
No. I wanted them to keep Monique, which I know is a horrible take, but I don't like Candace.
Well, they offered Monique to come back and she said no.
Because of Candace, right?
Well, she got her contract and was like, this looks bleak. Yeah.
Candace, I know she's good for the show, I guess, but I genuinely just like don't, she doesn't show any growth.
Okay. I got that.
Why do you like her so much?
I find her to be so funny.
Okay, she has moments.
I find her to be funny. I find her to be very smart in her. She's very, she's got a wide vocabulary. Like her husband says, she uses lots of adjectives. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy that. I do think that there's like this incredible double standard when it comes to Candace and when it comes to other housewives. I didn't enjoy Andy Cohen's performance at the reunion last Sunday. I thought he went a little hard on her. Considering like that Erica Jane is allegedly like, you know, being accused of defrauding orphans and widows and like mm-hmm. she's allowed to talk to anybody whenever True. She wants. And it's like, here's the thing about Candace. Let me just wrap this up really quick. Mm-hmm. My thing with Candace and my thing with a lot of housewives like Dorinda or like very controversial people is that just because I like them doesn't mean I co-sign everything they say and do.
Totally.
Like, when I saw Candace like throw the lettuce, or like when I said, when I saw she said yo mama, I was like, God fucking damn it, Candace. I was like, God,
I'm gonna have to defend
it's
this.
Like, yes, it's like that TikTok. I'm quoting TikTok a lot. I need to get a life. It's like I'm fighting for my fucking life.
Yeah.
It's like I'm fighting for Candace fans are we're fighting for our fucking lives out here.
You
like,
are.
It's hard.
What
it's
do you call really, yourself? Candace Hound. What is it?
Basset Hound.
Oh, mm-hmm. Whoop, Basset Hound.
Yeah.
You're a Basset Hound.
I am a Basset Hound.
Well, I think that Salt Lake City and Potomac are pretty flawless as they are, and they shouldn't change the cast. So I'm happy about that because we, you know, some of our, and obviously Beverly Hills has been great this year, but some of our, our classic ones needed some mix-ups, and we'll see what they do with New York. And do you have any predictions on what they're going to do with New York?
Oof.
It's impossible. I can't decide what I think at all.
It's really annoying watching people online be like, they're going to cancel it. They're not going to cancel it. New York is, they had one bad season.
Yeah.
Out of how many?
Epic it's like seasons too.
Give them a fucking minute.
Yeah.
Like Beverly Hills had tough seasons for years. Orange County.
I have high hopes for the way they're going to come back with Heather Dubrow, but that was getting unwatchable.
That was painful as fuck.
Yeah.
So with New York, I mean, I think Dorinda should come back.
Okay.
My girl.
I feel that.
I think Dorinda should come back. I think I want women. I don't want, okay, this is, sorry. This is like going, this is not what people came here for, but I just have to say this. I don't want housewives, young housewives. I don't want
either.
Them pregnant. I don't want them. No, I want women in their 40s and 50s. Not saying you can't get pregnant in your 40s, but I'm just saying like, that's why I loved housewives is like, you got to see women in their 40s and 50s. Like, living life, being complex female characters. And I think that that's missing from television landscape currently, to quote Miss Sarah Jessica Parker.
Come
recently in Vogue. We did.
I love that.
And I'm just like, I don't want to see Ashley Darby pregnant. I don't want to, like, I'm over it. I want Dorinda to come back with like her friends.
Okay.
I don't need Leah to come back. I don't need Ebony to come back. Do I think it was their fault that this season was a flop? No, I think it was production.
Yeah.
And COVID's fault.
I agree.
But Ramona, I mean, Ramona's got to go.
I don't think they're going to do it.
I don't think they're going to do it either.
I just talked to Ramona on the phone the other day for the Housewives All-Star thing. And she immediately answered the phone in classic Ramona fashion, like telling me about the real estate thing she's showing and they're trying to get her here. And she's at the doctor. I'm like, okay, I have 5 minutes and I need you to tell me like this, this, and this, like, I don't care. But it almost gave me energy. It was like, this is the Ramona, I like chaotic Ramona who is good for the show. And it's just, I don't know where things went wrong, but we could talk about this forever. You have to go. I have to go. Tell everyone if they would like to listen to you talk about Bravo and Sex and the City and all that fun stuff and pop culture, where they can listen.
You can listen to me anywhere you get your podcasts. At Hot Off the Mess is my pop culture Bravo podcast, and then Shortcomings is my Sex and City podcast. And you can follow me at Bravo Storian on Instagram and at Take Yourself Off on Twitter.
Perfect. Your Twitter, by the way, a lot going on your Twitter these days.
You want to talk about it? My mom, I got a text message from her about it this morning.
Everyone should go check it out. Definitely follow her on Instagram if you don't. I feel like you probably already do. You are so funny and you are always the first to post everything. So I love it. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Here for the Right Reasons, Us Weekly's Bachelor podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, tell your friends about this podcast, and come back every week for more Bachelor breakdowns.